Hey, welcome back. It's time to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center. And we're in a bit of a rush. We got a short window to talk to a great man. To kick it off is our president of the chamber, Ruben Franco. Welcome, sir.
Thanks, Paul. We're excited today. We have just an amazing guest today. We have Arturo Sandoval, American jazz trumpeter, multi-Grammy Award winner, awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That's rarefied air for anybody. That's the highest civilian honor you can get. And he's performing, coming up here at the Pacific Symphony Latin Fire Concert on February 16th and 17th. Mr. Sandoval, we're honored to have you on. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. I'm very excited and I'm grateful to have this opportunity because I believe this is the first time I'm going to play with the orchestra.
Yeah, definitely. And we have a new pops conductor, Enrico Lopez Yanez, and we're excited to hear you. We'll be there on the 16th to hear you in person. And so we are just blessed and honored to be able to do that. So
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have any information about how the tickets are selling going?
I don't. We could find
out. Just in case we need to push a little harder, yeah. Do a little more promotion.
We're promoting it on our end, that's for sure. And I know the Pacific Symphony is as well. So
whatever I could do, I'm going to be available to help as much as possible.
Sounds good, because it's going to be an exciting day. Latin Fire on February 16th and 17th. You have an amazing story. And so I know it's been described that you didn't have freedom in your life, so you played your way out of Cuba to get here to America to be able to show your artiste and your wares here in the U.S. And we're blessed to have that, and just amazing. And I think in Cuba, right, Castro did not allow artists to perform, or you couldn't even listen to jazz or any music. Tell us a little bit about what it was like growing up in Cuba.
You know, they used to call American music in general, but specifically jazz, the music of the Yankee imperialists, such a stupidity for many years, you know. And actually, we put together a band in 1974. It was a very successful band. It's called, the name of the band was Irakere. By the way, this February 9th, we're going to make a reunion after 40-something years. We're going to play a concert in Miami in the Adrian Arch Performing Arts Center. And, but when we put that band together, we weren't allowed to use the cymbals of the drums because they said that was too rock and roll, too jazz or whatever, and then we have to take it off the cymbals of the drums and replace that with cowbells and things, you know. And that was one of the things we had to deal with.
Wow.
That was amazing.
So did you have to hide when you started, how old were you when you started playing the trumpet?
Oh, I was 11 years old.
11 years old. Did you have to hide the fact that you're even playing or even had a trumpet back then? I know Castro had some edicts about just being able to listen, but also performing too. Was that
no performing? No, because I was practicing, I was learning. Okay. I was playing in the very beginning with a local band in my village because I grew up in the middle of nowhere, the island, and I came from an extremely poor family and I not even make a school. When I have to quit school when I was 10 years old or something, when I was in fifth grade, and then from there on everything was, you know, trying to figure it out, and I'm still in the mission trying to figure it out. But the thing was related more to the genre of music, not to play an instrument. It was to the genre of music that you want to play, you know. That was the limitation there, you know. Because as I told you before, they call it Yankee imperialist music. And then you play Cuban music, whatever, or even classical, whatever, that was okay.
Got it.
You are a fan of American music in general, that was a problem there.
So they didn't want the American influence.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. When did you know? So you started playing at 11. When did you kind of know this is what you wanted to do the rest of your life? And who? And I know I've read where you were influenced by Dizzy Gillespie. And what, you know, was it at 11 that you were influenced by him, or what prompted all that?
No, I started playing in that little local band in my village, traditional Cuban music only. I was doing that for 3 years. And then in '64, I got a scholarship to go to the conservatory to get a classical training for 3 years. I was in that school. Mm-hmm. And then so far, I never heard any jazz music, zero, nothing. And then one day, when I was before 20 years old or something, a guy, he was a journalist, but he loved jazz, and then he said, "Hey, you ever hear jazz music?" I said, "No, what is that?" He said, "Come with me." And then he played for me one of the vinyl, you know, the big record, and it was a compilation of recording of Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker. That was the first thing I ever heard about the music, that kind of music. And man, that turned my head upside down. I said, "Damn, what the heck is that?" And that was so many years ago, and then I still trying to figure it out what Dizzy and Charlie Parker were playing back then, before I was born, because I'm talking about 46, 47, and
sure.
I was born in 49. And later on, May 77, I was so lucky, Dizzy came to Cuba in the boat, in the jazz cruise. They was doing a tour, and they stopped in Havana for a couple of days, and then we met. And then the rest, you know, is history. We connected from there until January 6, 93, that Dizzy passed away.
Oh. You performed with him, right? When did you, when was the first?
Hundreds of times,
okay.
Hundreds of times, yeah, with my own band. I got to tell you something, Dizzy was so good to me, man, that sometime I got phone call, just to give you an idea, from the promoter of Jazz Festival in somewhere. And he said, "Mr. Sandoval, we want to hire your band because we invited Dizzy Gillespie to play in our event. And he have a request. He said he will do it if I bring your band to back him up." And I said, "Yes, okay." And then when I talked to him, he said, "This, what is this, this?" He said, "Man, I knew you were doing nothing there, and you need some opportunity, you need some gig, and you need some exposure. And you know, and because of him, we came to the very first time in the U.S. a few months after we met. I'm talking about the beginning of 78, and then we flew to New York. We got a 3-year contract with CBS Record, and then the very first day in the U.S. ever, we play at Carnegie Hall.
Wow.
And CBS make a live record of that. And that was our first Grammy. Everything happened the first day ever in the U.S. for the whole band. And everything because of Dizzy.
So in 77? That was the first time you performed with him?
Yes.
Okay.
During his visit to Havana.
And then
May 77.
When did you win your first Grammy?
That one I just mentioned you in 78 when we did a live recording from the Carnegie Hall made by CBS Record.
And you have over 10 Grammys right now?
Trying to remember. 11.
11 now. Wow. That's amazing.
I got the last one this past November in Seville, Spain. That, by the way, that was the first time they did a Grammys out of the U.S.
Wow. That's amazing. Hey, what was it like being awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom? That's the highest civilian honor we have here in the U.S. What was that like?
Yeah, that's, of course, that's a huge honor for me. But I'm going to share something with you that even make it bigger, because it's four jazz musicians ever who got that medal.
Wow.
The other three are Count Basie, Duke Ellington, and Ella Fitzgerald. Can you imagine a poor farmer from Cuba being in that company? It's beyond my dream or imagination. You know, it's huge for me to have such an honor.
Well, that's amazing. You have an amazing story. I know you're on a press junket, and unfortunately we have unlimited time. Is there one last thing you want to share with our audience before we have to leave?
The only thing I pray to God is that we can fill the house and have the people really appreciate the effort, the promoters, the orchestra, the conductor. My own band going to be there together with the orchestra, by the way, which is much better for me, because they're going to have my own rhythm section that are going to make the thing more smooth and, you know, more easy for everybody.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to it. And so everybody join us on February 16th and 17th here. And Mr. Sandoval, it was an honor and a pleasure to meet
the
you.
The honor and pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it. One more reason to tune in each and every time to meet our community, the Hispanic community here in Orange County, with the legendary Arturo Sandoval performing live here, I think for the first time, certainly a long time, with the Pacific Symphony coming up February 16th and 17th at Sagerstrom Hall. Call either those for more information or contact us here at the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.